Bestsellers, where we read about a perfect pink pussy so you don't have to. I'm Kate.
I'm Renata.
And for this episode, we read Icebreaker by Hannah Grace. Joining us to discuss this sexy skater book talk sensation is author of the recently released YA novel Red and half-assed figure skater Annie Cardi. Hello, Annie.
Hello.
That, hey, my friend.
I have to say, I wrote that intro knowing that you would have to read it. And this was a test to see if you, like, looked at it in advance, and you failed. I heard it in your voice.
I was about to say, this is a lesson, everyone, that before you start podcasting, you should read your script.
I was prepared to be like, well, you can change it to whatever, but this to me is what we read about.
Anyway. And
by the way, we're not talking about the Pink Panther.
If only.
I would love to read an erotic Pink Panther.
I'm sure it's out there. Don't Google it. It's very disturbing.
Before we get balls deep into this. Content warning for everything you just heard about belatedly. I'm so sorry. We got off to a real spicy start right away. And that's just where we are. And we're going to talk also probably about some disordered eating, some gaslighting, some light girl bossing, emotional abuse, and just some real explicit sexy scenes.
So right off the bat, I can't say I liked this book. I didn't dislike it. It was fine. I'm thinking maybe I have a tendency to read more explicit things than the two of you based on the conversations that we had prior to starting to record.
That feels legit.
That wouldn't take too much. Yes. And I should say also, so this book for me, it did benefit a little bit from us recording out of order. Because if I had read this straight after reading Nora Roberts' books, I would have really hated it, I think, because this pales in comparison. But then actually secretly in between, we read next episode's book, This Present Darkness, which, spoiler for 2 weeks from now, is really bad. Way worse than this. So when I started reading, I was like, oh, this is a breeze. I'm like blowing through this. And then once it started getting sexy, I was like, this is gross. I don't like this. It's too horny. Yeah.
And there are like plotting and pacing and character stuff that like also do not work. It's not just like, oh, this book is real spicy, and you know, two of us are not as experienced with that.
It's not only that I'm a prude, but I'm not a prude. Yes, I in my notes I put that I don't know a lot about figure skating, but I do feel like I know more about figure skating than the book's main character, who is supposedly an Olympic level figure skater. Yes.
Oh my god.
And then before we started recording, I was shook to learn that Annie is an experienced figure skater.
I am.
Take us to school.
Yeah, I both am not good at figure skating, but I do know how. And like I can go backwards. I can like do the 1 foot thing. I really enjoyed that for a while. And I obviously, because of that, I love the Olympics and figure skating and all the national competitions. And like I will watch, Mariah Bell has a program where she like did really well and she's so excited. And I like cry watching that because I'm so proud of her. And so I have so many feelings about figure skating, and I feel like I was promised something with this book and it did not deliver, because I wanted more figure skating that is actually real, and that did not happen.
Yeah, like I'm not an expert, but figure skating is my favorite sport to watch because figure skating is the sport that is most similar to musical theater.
So true. Yes.
And I like that.
Yes. It's
also, I'm so glad you name dropped Mariah Bell, because I just read about her when I looked up oldest female figure skater at Olympics, and it was her when she was 25.
Yeah.
So, because I in my head was like, why is she like in college for figure skating and wanting to do the Olympics when as I feel like you got to be like 16?
Yes, I think there are a lot of people who like do end up going to college and actually like people have done it while like going to Harvard and stuff, and they still compete at the national level.
But men.
That's true, right? And yeah, I think a lot of the women, especially now, are like 16 because your body is just like made of jello, and you can do the big like leg stuff and flips and whatever that I could never absolutely do. But it's so much easier when you're like 16 years old versus 25 and like you're in, you know, Anne Elliott in Persuasion, right?
Yeah.
I will say, like I said, I didn't love this, but for the most part, I mean, I don't know anything about figure skating, so that part I don't have any commentary on. But I will say, like, for me, like, the biggest issue that I had with it was just the pacing was so bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It somewhere in the notes document, I think Annie had said, like, if this was, like, a piece of long fan fiction, I would have been like, yeah, but because it's a published novel, I'm kind of like,
yeah,
what happened? And that's sort of, I think, how I felt about it. You know, I generally enjoyed listening to it, but the pacing of this plot is all over the place. Like, every time you think you've reached, like, what the big main conflict is going to be, it's not. And then there's another big main conflict, and then that gets resolved. And then there's another big main conflict, and that gets resolved. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very – it felt very – uneven. It feels needed tighter editorial oversight. I know that this got big when it was self-pubbed, I think, and on Book Talk, and then became traditionally published, but like it definitely needed a little bit more finesse. Because it did, like, it got to a point where like my frustration with it was I was bored of listening to it, and I still had like an hour and a half to go. Because I was just like, this is, I don't know what I'm like waiting for anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what is still in the balance.
Yeah. I feel like even with, if you were like, we need all of the sex scenes, like this is like a promise we're making to the reader, basically, that it's going to be super hot. Even if you keep all of those, it should have been like a tight 300 pages. And I feel like in similar to that fan fiction sense, and I don't mean this as a knock on fan fiction in any way, because I love fanfic, but it felt more like you were getting it in that installments where it was like, oh, here's, you know, chapter one, chapter two. And like things would be dropped in as she kind of needed them or wanted them, instead of it being paced out in a way to like fully follow the character's arc and like dropping in things in the plot that were going to move things forward. Instead of just like, oh, this thing kind of happens. I guess this is resolved now. Okay, this thing kind of happens. This one's resolved now. And also, here's this information that's going to be relevant in like two pages. And I think with like working with an editor, they could have done so much with that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because like this did get, you know, it was self-published, but on Kindle Unlimited. So it was dropped as one piece, I guess. But to me, it really felt like it had been posted like chapter by chapter.
Yeah.
And then like as readers were like, oh my God, love this. Mm-hmm. Give me more hot oral sex scenes, please. Yeah. And she was like, okay, here you go, smiley face. And then she'd be like, oh, I can't remember. I think I already posted something about Robbie's accident, but I can't change what I already posted. So I'm just going to like retell it here, I think. Like, it really did just feel the way when you're reading like a fan fiction that's been posted a chapter at a time, and then being like, oh, I know earlier I said this, but like disregard because now I'm doing this and I know I already published it, but whatever. And again, when it's a fan fiction, you're like, yeah, all right, I'm along for the ride. But this is a book that was published by Simon & Schuster.
Yeah, it definitely has this like episodic feel to it.
Yeah.
But in a way that it, there's trying, it, she's trying to give this overarching plot, but it just doesn't, it like falls to the wayside every time she wants to have one of these little like episodic adventures for the mm-hmm. characters. And I did like, I did think that the two main characters were the least interesting people in the book, but I did really like the cast of characters. Mm-hmm. I liked the hockey guys. I liked Lola, who is the main character, mm-hmm. Anastasia's roommate. I liked the different interactions with Lola and Anastasia and the hockey guys once they like moved into the hockey house. I might actually read the third book because it is about Henry.
I do love Henry.
Who was my favorite hockey boy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Sweet little muffin. Would die for him.
Yeah.
Russ is the muffin, actually. and book two is about Russ. Henry was the cutest boy. That's overall impressions. Maybe let's get into the plot.
Yeah.
Such as it were. So we open with Anastasia, who is, as you may have picked up, a figure skater. She goes by Anastasia or Stassi, and she is a pairs skater with a guy named Aaron, who I did think was gay for a little while.
Yeah.
But is not, but just is not interested in her. And we learn right off the bat that, like, Aaron is obnoxious and he's kind of like a jerk, but he's a really great skater, and Stassi is convinced he makes her a better skater and is one of her best friends. And even though he's like kind of a jerk, she thinks that like the good outweighs the bad and it's worth putting up with him at his worst to have this like chance at the Olympics, which is what they're working up to. She lives with Aaron and their other roommate / best friend Lola in an apartment that Aaron's father guilt pays for because he's had several affairs with Aaron's mother. And whenever a new affair is discovered, he throws money at it. And so he pays for this lavish, fancy apartment for the three of them to live in. And Stassi is super type A. She lives by her planner. She's a planner girly and like doesn't have time for romance. She just has time for mutually beneficial hooking up with the captain of the basketball team, who like is her kind of best friend, but also like she fucks him sometimes when he's not dating other people, but she's not interested in commitment.
No.
Until
there is a issue with the skating rink that the hockey players use, and Nathan,
for two things, the book is split POV alternating mm-hmm. chapters between Anastasia and Nate, and so we're getting to Nate. And because they go to University of California Maple Hills, which is fake UC school, but this one in the world of the book is known for its ice sport, so they have two ice rinks so that they can have figure skating and hockey at the same time
a prank is played at the ice hockey arena rink, and it turns out that a boy on the team hooked up with this girl who it doesn't matter, but somebody else played a prank or took revenge on this guy who hooked up with this girl by fucking around with the ice hockey rink. And so the ice hockey rink is out of commission for a while. So the ice skating rink, it needs to play double duty until they can get the ice hockey rink up and running again. And Nathan is the captain of the Titans, mm-hmm. the ice hockey team. He takes his captaining very seriously. The ice hockey guys used to play a lot of pranks, but he put a stop to that when he became captain, and he, you know, takes his role as taking care of the guys on his team very seriously. So he sort of takes some of the blame. I mean, like not the blame, but, you know, responsibility for what happened, even though it wasn't done by anyone on their team, because, you know, he needs to keep the peace between the administration and the team. And as a sort of like, we're sorry to the figure skating people. They throw a party at the ice hockey house on the day after they learn that they're going to have to share rinks and invite everyone, including figure skater Stassi and her roommate and friends, as to kind of say that they're sorry for this having happened and that they're going to try and be good rink partners.
Yeah. And by the way, similar to Aaron, Nate is also a poor little rich boy whose dad pays for this house because he feels sad.
Yes.
Sad rich dads.
Yeah.
Nate's dad feels bad because Nate's best friend Robbie, who is the student manager of the hockey team, used to also play hockey with Nate when they were growing up, but he was in a skiing accident at the ski resort that Nate's dad owns, and Nate's dad like was a total dick about it after it happened, even though Robbie was Nate's best friend and like Nate was very close to Robbie's family. And so like out of guilt, when they went away to college, he bought this house and renovated it to be wheelchair friendly, because Robbie does use a wheelchair now. And that was like his way of saying sorry, I guess.
Well, that's part of it. And then he also feels bad because he, like, really checked out while Nate's mom was dying. Nate's mom is dead, by the way.
Yeah.
She died when Nate was, like, in eighth grade. And his dad, like, checked out and was having an affair with some ski resort girly. So much to feel guilty about.
Yes. And
fortunately, a lot of money to make up for it.
Yeah. So here's where my first kind of, like, about the romance between the two leads, who, as I said, were the least interesting characters to me, kind of came in, is that from the moment we meet Nate, he is nothing but kind and thoughtful and apologetic towards Stassi. And even like when we see what he does and says from Stassi's point of view, like he's just very kind and thoughtful, but she immediately is like, oh, like these stuck up, mean, rich hockey boys who are jerks. And I'm like, where's this coming from though?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's nothing. You're trying to pitch this to me as like a sort of enemies to lovers kind of thing, but Nate is never anything but cordial and kind to her. Even at the beginning, but okay, whatever.
She does technically catch him in a lie, but it's like a pretty low stakes lie.
Yeah.
I feel like I can get it at the very beginning of like, oh, this does mess with my ice time. Like, I'm super frustrated and you're the captain of the hockey team. So I'm going to be mad at you because you are the symbol of the hockey team. But very soon after, it's like, oh, he's okay. And she likes the other hockey guys. So it... And like, I do actually really like their banter together when they're not talking about their own body parts.
But... or each other's body parts.
bodies are, ugh. I feel like maybe it's a book that wants to have the sense of like, oh, I don't really hate you, but we're doing this like sexy banter thing. Which I get, but also then there is that sense of like, no, I do really hate him and he's so annoying. And I'm like, no, girl, you don't.
Yeah. Like the very minor lie that he's caught in is he swears that.
That he doesn't know what happened with the hockey rink.
Yes. And he does know. But what he knows is like he needs to protect one of his team members. And his team member didn't do anything. But her skating partner, Aaron, tries to tell her that like one of the hockey guys like got knocked up this girl and then ghosted her and that's why this had to happen, which also is not the truth.
And then this hockey player in particular who would take the fall for it, even though it's also not really his fault, he's like from a poor family and he's here in scholarship. And if there's one word this book uses to describe Nate, it's protective. And so he has to protect his team. He has to protect this little hockey guy.
I mean, I do want to protect all the little hockey babies.
They're
little ducklings.
If there's one word this book uses to describe Anastasia, it's bratty. And she is bratty. But Nate likes that.
So they go to this party and... while she's there being mad at Nate for lying to her, Lola and Robbie meet each other and like instantly fall in love. So,
just to remind you, that's Nate's best friend and Stassi's best friend are now in love.
So that's taken care of. Like, good job, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Nate invites, even though Stassi is like, I never want to see you again. Nate is like, listen, I know you hate me, but Robbie really wants Lola to come to his surprise birthday party. And it's like in 2 days. Can you do that? You're also welcome. And she's like, oh, fine, I guess, for Lola. And while at the party does hook up with Nate, and he does perform oral sex on her while she is pushed up against a door. And she is really into it and then does run away immediately afterwards, panicking, and avoids him for a week.
For reasons.
Yes. For reasons. And then throughout all of this, we're getting also glimpses of Aaron, her skating partner, and how he treats her on the ice and off the ice. And spoiler alert, it's very badly. He treats her very badly. And he's constantly complaining anytime she gains weight about how heavy she is, and has written her a meal plan that she has to follow. It's implied.
And so jumping ahead, because we don't get details of this until later in the book, but this is another thing that really made me think, like, does Anastasia know anything? Like, how is she this pro-level skater? Because I'm obviously not an athlete, but I do know that athletes are, like, real serious about their meal plans and whatever, and, you know, got to get that protein, like, whatever, whatever. And so Nate, by the way, is studying sports medicine or nutrition. Yeah. I mean, he's taking a nutrition class, and he's like, this meal plan is not enough calories, and you need more macros, and you need more protein, and like blah, 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 blah. And I just simply can't believe that anybody who's at that high level of the skating wouldn't already know that.
I do buy, like, there are a lot of, like, eating disorders and disordered eating and figure skating.
Oh, yeah, I buy that. Like,
yeah.
But she seems surprised.
Right. I feel like I buy it more. I actually really enjoy the, like, emotional abuse and control from Aaron. I feel like it's a very interesting kind of antagonist to have. But and, like, using weight as part of that I found really interesting. But it does feel weird to me that it was like she was so surprised about it, as opposed to it being more ingrained in her that it's like, oh, I shouldn't be eating this kind of thing. Like her already knowing that it's like, oh, I'm limiting my calories. Like, technically I could be eating more, but I need to watch my weight because Aaron's going to be like having such a hard time lifting me or whatever.
Right. Like, whatever. Also, I guess speaking of like, them talking about their bodies, like, we get a lot about her bodies that she has like big boobs and a thick ass, and Nate loves it. But again, like, I don't know, like, this author Hannah Grace, who, by the way, this is a pseudonym, she we don't really know who Hannah Grace is as a person, but she self-describes as writing like fluffy comfort books, which that's great. I love a fluffy comfort book. I didn't find this that comforting, but it's fine. But, like, if you're going to write this, like, fantasy novel where it's like, yeah, figure skaters can have any body type, like, okay, like, I can work with that. But then it is so tied to, like, actually, like, no, we have – I don't know. Like, it just didn't quite fit.
Yeah, I feel like it was a weird, like, she wants to have her cake and eat it too kind of thing, where it's like she wanted to have the, like, more, like – you know, dramatic, intense, and like real, you know, issues of like eating disorders and, you know, stuff that go along with the sport. But then also like Stassi has big boobs and a butt, and also that she's still itty bitty and you can just pick her up and like put her in your pocket and she's like a sexy baby, which deeply bothers me.
Yes. It's like 1997 Nora Roberts in here. She's a very portable lady.
Yeah. And like, I think that's kind of a trope for romance novels in some way. But I think paired with the disordered eating stuff, it really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yes. And paired with also, sorry, Stassi, like, is very open about therapy and, like, she loves talking about therapy and she has Zoom therapy every week. And she is, like, very good at, you know, talking about how communication is so important. But then she, like, really does seem genuinely surprised, like, as if no one has ever said the word eating disorder to her in her life. Mm. Like, or if she hadn't, you know, and she even talks about like missing skating with other girls. Like, you know, I think that is maybe something that could have benefited. Like, we don't see a mm-hmm. single other skater girl. Yes,
right. And like, if you are skating, you know the other skaters. Like, you are actually all on the ice together a lot. It's not just like, oh, this is my time and we have the whole rink to ourselves. Usually you're skating with a bunch of other people and you just have to kind of be careful of each other. So there's no reason that like, we know like several hockey players and we know like zero the whole other hockey
team.
Right. Yeah. And I get like that could have worked if it was like Aaron was isolating her. And it was really particular about that. But I feel like there are all these things that I think could have worked super well, but it just was not handled appropriately.
In defense of her, like being shocked, despite being in therapy, being shocked that she has disordered eating. Mm-hmm. I 1000% can understand, especially someone who is prone to like that sort of anxiety, kind of like mm-hmm. borderline OCD in the medical sense, not in the weird cultural sense, way that Anastasia is presented. Like, because I've known people like this, like if she's working from a meal plan that she thinks is correct,
mm-hmm.
I can see that being like, well, I don't have disordered eating because I have a meal plan that I am sticking to, and I don't have an eating disorder. Like, my eating is fine because this supposedly nutritional plan has been made for me, and that's what I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair. I like stories about figure skaters. I also like stories about ballet dancers. And I feel like mm-hmm. in ballet fiction, that's such a trope, is like all the girlies in the locker room and then like comparing notes about which one of them has an eating disorder. Like, I guess even if she didn't think she had an eating disorder, I do feel like in that community, if we're sort of in this world where like, yeah, your partner can shame you for weighing too much. Like, it just seems like it really seemed like she was like a girl in a, you know, made for TV educational movie about eating disorder. She was like, disorder eating, tell me more. And it's like, that shouldn't, like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
I agree to disagree. I didn't really feel that, like, to me, the biggest, like, this is stupid part about that, like, I did like Annie, I did like that, like, Aaron turned out to be this, like, sort of platonic or not so much at the end. Mm-hmm. Abusive partner, and that was sort of mm-hmm. one of the things throughout. To me the biggest issue with that part of the plot is that if he is constantly complaining about how she's too heavy to lift, and they have a specific skating coach who, when shown the meal plan that he has created, is like aghast that this is what he had put together and thought was okay, like, why did she not step in with that? Because the second that later on, when Stassi finally calls him on it, she's like, yeah, you're being a dipshit. So I don't understand why this woman earlier did not step in and say, okay, like, if you're complaining, you know, about how much she's weighing, like, have you put on a lot of weight, Stassi? Like, what, how much do you weigh? Do you have a meal plan? You do have a meal plan. Let me see it. Oh, Aaron made this for you. Oh, you're like super deficient in calories. Like, this is an issue. That was the bigger issue than her not necessarily recognizing that the plan that she was on was not healthy.
And I could also see it as someone who, like, again, like as a person in therapy, like both logically knowing something, but then also kind of dissociating from like your actual life to be like, okay, maybe I know that this is probably too strict of an eating plan, but I still need to do X, Y, or Z in order to make it to the Olympics. I think the coach thing is definitely part of the plotting issues where like, she only appears when the plot needs her to.
Yes.
Whereas in real life, she would be very involved in terms of like their skating, their like interactions together, you know, their health. Especially if you were people who are like, I am trying to bring you to the Olympics. Like, you would be super involved in their physical like capabilities. I think these are things that I'm like, oh, you could have done this. I'm not asking for like big changes in this book. But it's just kind of like, here it is. We're just going to throw some stuff in there and eventually it'll all work out.
Yeah. So that aside,
we got off.
Yeah.
They go to Robbie's birthday party and they hook up, and then Nathan kind of Stassi sort of ignores Nate for a week, and then they end up in the same space again, and they have to do this team building exercise where it's like speed dating, where they have to, all of the skating people and all of the ice hockey people have to like get to know each other. And during this, I did think that this was sort of a clever way to info dump on each of these characters.
Yes.
Yeah. And sort of a clever icebreaker.
Where Stassi has a moment to talk to each of the hockey players, and the ones who are like recurring characters in the rest of the book get a little bit more of an intro from her, and we learn a little bit about each of them as she's talking to them. I mean, like I said, I found those characters to be deeply charming.
I feel like this was a scene that like could work really, like basically this whole thing, I feel like could work really well as a TV series.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one, I was like, oh, you would like have the guys come in and like sit down. You see everybody in the different conversations. And like, I actually really did enjoy that.
Yeah. So Nate and Stassi, they hook up again eventually. And she doesn't run away this time, and it becomes kind of more of a like, okay, well, we're at least friends, because she's still very commitment phobic at this point. And they all go out to a club together and have like a good time, and she and Nate hook up again. And it's just, there's a lot of them at the beginning, like the first half of the book, of them like kind of coming together, and then like for whatever reason
I'll see myself out
for really not strongly defined reasons, like then sort of avoiding each other for a while. And after this time that they hook up, they do sort of end up being like, okay, well, we're kind of regular fuck buddies and friends, as opposed to having sex and then not talking for a week at a time. Aaron, meanwhile, fucking hates this. He hates Nate. He hates all the hockey guys. He hates that Stassi is spending all of her time. And Lola as well. Lola and Aaron and Stassi live together, but Lola's spending all her time at the hockey house now. And Stassi's spending a lot of time at the hockey house. And Aaron hates this to like a deeply intense degree. And it kind of like rolls into a fairly like regular sort of happy thing right up until Halloween, when Aaron shows up at the big Halloween party that all of them are at a club, and claims that he slipped in the locker room and broke his arm, and that Nate is the person who spilled something on the floor in front of his locker so that he would fall and break his arm to sabotage him personally. And
it's so convoluted.
Yeah. And all of the hockey guys are called to like talk to the dean, to be like, who did this, who hurt another athlete at this school, and if I don't find out who it is, like the entire hockey team is not playing hockey anymore. So Nate, once again, even though he knows no one on his team did this because he talked to them all and he knows he didn't do it, he takes the fall and tells the coach that it was him. And the coach doesn't believe him, but also like doesn't know what else to do. So he says that he's benched for the length of time that Aaron is also benched due to his injury. And this is where it turns into The Cutting Edge.
Like briefly.
Very briefly, the book becomes The Cutting Edge. Which was what I thought it was going to, like from reading the description, was what I thought the entire book was going to be. And then it wasn't. And that was disappointing to me, a person who likes The Cutting Edge. but Stassi does let Nate explain, and you know, he says like, I didn't do it, but somebody had to take the fall. And she knows this, like she knows that Nate wouldn't do it, like wouldn't have a prank like that. And like, she doesn't feel like Nate's lying to her, and she doesn't know why Aaron is lying to her, but also, like, most things that Aaron does, she just sort of lets it go. And decides that since Aaron is off the ice and she needs to practice her routine during the time that Aaron is benched, that Nate will do her practices with her as her figure skating partner to make sure that she still gets her training in. Like I said, it's the cutting edge. Except not as good.
Yeah. I already have concerns about the validity of the cutting edge, but like it works as a movie. Whereas here I was just like, no, like even if you are in practice, like hockey skating is different than figure skating. I mean, Topic, that's a whole thing.
But because Nate's such a good skater, he does address that there's differences and then he learns them all in 48 hours.
Yeah. Right. I was like, oh, good. You just did it. Like, I guess all these other guys who try to learn skating for years and like work hard at it, they're just doing something wrong, I guess. So, that was a part of me that was like, this is not real.
Yeah. Well, and also Stassi's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to practice. Like, we can't go, you know, if I'm not in good shape from practicing with a pair. But then there's no real worry that Aaron's going to be out of shape from missing all this practice. Like, he'll be fine. And then he is fine.
There's a couple throwaway lines that address it where, like, it doesn't address it. It's like Stassi. It addresses it to Stassi's mind, but doesn't address it to the actual reality of the world that we live in, where she's like, he's such a good skater that it doesn't matter. Like, he'll still be perfect when he gets off being, you know, his recovery time, which doesn't like logically make sense, but in her like messed up brain about it seems to make sense to her, so she stops thinking about it.
Yeah.
But she does say that she can't have sex with him if they're also working together. Like, they have to be either ice skating partners or sexy partners. They can't be both. So they decide that they're going to take 2 months off from their relationship to become skating partners. And that lasts for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up hooking up again and go on a Christmas trip together where they admit that they're in love with each other and they meet each other's parents, partially on purpose and partially by accident.
Anastasia falls through the ice. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, and once again, it's another one of those things that makes it feel like it's like an episodic fanfic or like Wattpad story as opposed to an actual novel. Like, because there's this whole like stressful thing where she's skating on a lake and she falls through thin ice and she almost dies, but Nate's able to pull her out and bring her to the hospital. And then after like a day in the hospital, they're like, okay, you can go home now. And she's fine.
I want to talk about her falling through the lake because I went back and reread both from both their points of view to see if I missed something, because the day before they both go, he takes her out to skate on that lake and he teaches her like a little bit of hockey on that lake. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's beautiful. I love it here. And then the next day he goes out to get her Christmas present and leaves her home alone. And she goes out to skate on the same lake. And then she's having a lovely time until exactly the moment when he calls and says, where are you? And she says, I'm on the lake. And he says, it's not safe. And then immediately, as soon as he says that, the ice cracks and she falls in. And he's like, I knew it wasn't safe. But, like, it didn't seem like anything had changed. Like, did it warm up significantly since the day before?
So what I got from that is that when she says, like, I'm on the lake by the woods, that he's like, that part's not safe.
That, okay.
So my impression was, like, based on him, like, her initial observation of, I was imagining a small lake behind your house, like, this is fucking huge, that it is a very large lake and that the part they were on was fine, but that, like, over towards the edge by the woods. The part they were on was
not by the woods.
Yes.
Okay, see, because I went back and kept reading it, and I was reading lake by the woods as meaning
the whole thing,
the lake, like, I don't know, as opposed to by the woods being the emphasis. Like
the lake by the woods versus the lake comma by the woods.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I feel like that was a thing where I was like, oh, okay, this just happened. And again, like you say, it's so episodic where it's like, oh, but she's okay.
So it's fine.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We did skip. I've been like blazing over most of like the cute little interactions with the hockey boys that I found so charming. But there is a point where they're having a party at Christmas where Aaron shows up with two friends to make trouble. And Henry, who is like the like cute little sophomore nerdy hockey boy who Stassi loves the most, he like starts to beat the shit out of Aaron because he's talking shit about Stassi. And Henry's got like a touch of the tism. He's really sweet. He's like very like artistic and studious and like.
He's like very direct and literal.
Yes. And, you know, is not necessarily the person who you would imagine like beating the shit out of this guy. But like afterwards, he's like, yeah, I'm not sorry that I did it. He was saying mean things about you.
Yeah. I love Henry.
Henry's very good.
I mean, I did see like even as angry as the book made me in many ways, I did see that there was a Henry book. And I was like, oh, man, I should read the Henry book, though.
I am probably going to read the Henry book.
He's so cute.
Here's the two reasons why I'm going to read the Henry book. One, I fucking love Henry. He's my favorite. I think he's so cute. Two, on the cover of the Henry book, his love interest is wearing the Taylor Swift Folklore cardigan. And I do feel like that bodes well for me.
We should say also this book does come with a playlist, and number one on the playlist is "Cruel Summer" by Taylor Swift.
That song is name dropped in the book, and that did. There's a point where they have sex in the back of an Uber while all of their friends are also there. Well, he fingers her in the back of an Uber while they're in it with all of their friends. But then her reasoning or his reasoning for why no one will notice is because Cruel Summer's come on the radio and they've turned it on and everyone is scream singing along. And that to me does feel legit.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say overall, unlike our Queen Ms. Nora Roberts, I do feel like a lot of the college student dialogue did feel pretty true.
Yes.
And I do like the vibe like of their friend group and their social setting. It's super fun. And again, like Henry is the sweetest little baby in the world. Like I love Robbie. I love Lola. I feel like all of these supporting characters are so rich in many ways. But yeah, then I just get mad at these other things.
Yeah.
Here's what I wish. I wish that the stakes, instead of it being like Anastasia has to go to the Olympics and get a gold medal, I wish the stakes had been her being like, I know I'm not quite good enough to be a real professional skater, but I'm good enough to do it at a college level. And like, I want to get like a college championship and then, you know, maybe go and work as a coach or something. Yeah. And then it wouldn't have to feel like I'm the best possible skater in literally the world. Literally the world. And yet.
Yeah. So yeah, we're winding down the book, sort of. I don't know, like, the pacing of this book is so bad.
It's cyclical, where it's like, they bicker about some dumb thing, because he gets jealous and she gets sassy, and then they sulk for, like, a minute, and then they have, like, very, like, open door explicit sex, and then some minor plot things happens, and then they bicker about it, and then they have sex, and then, like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it's very, the pacing is just all over the place. There's no like building of tension, and the biggest so as we reach the end here, they come back from their Christmas break, and it turns out that Aaron's good to skate again.
Speaking of lack of tension, I do want to say that, and this didn't seem like a joke, and no one referred to it, but like they over Christmas break, they both go to meet Stassi's parents, and then to Nate's, you know, poor little rich boy empty mansion, and both times, like, in her hometown, they go out to dinner and her ex-boyfriend is the waiter. And then in his hometown, they go out to dinner and his ex-girlfriend is the waitress. And they have, like, a little awkward thing each time. But then literally nothing comes of it. And they don't even make a joke of, like, wow, both of our exes work at restaurants we go to. It's just, like, you know, something that she imagines might stir up drama, but then she can't really, like, bear to commit to it. So it's just, like, anyway.
Yeah. So they get back from Christmas break, and it turns out that Aaron is healed enough to go back to skating, and also he talks to the coach, and because during their break, when his break from skating, like around the time of the Christmas party, Stassi finds out that he's been talking like incredibly bad shit about her behind her back, like making up stories and then like also calling her a slut and also saying like terrible things about her skating ability and like unforgivable things she's adopted about her adopted parents and how like she's always looking for love because she knows that no one will love her because her parents didn't even love her and her adopted parents only adopted her so that they could like be the parents of like an Olympic skater. And like deeply unforgivable things. And she's still like, but I have to keep skating with him. So he suggests they go to a sports partner therapist, which they do. And the therapist suggests that she moves out of the hockey house and back into the house with Aaron, which Nate is like not happy about. And so now he like doesn't see her at home and he doesn't see her at skating anymore, like, and he never sees her and he's cranky about it and he feels like Aaron is just like manipulating her and doing these things to hurt her, and she's like, well, he is, but I'm gonna let him do it anyway, essentially, because I want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, and they're also like, Nate and Stassi are both like, well, this therapist is being paid for out of pocket by Aaron because, you know, he's a poor little rich boy also. And don't you think that this therapist being paid for directly by Aaron is going to be sort of like biased for him? And it does seem sort of like the case.
So they Stassi and Nate like talk it out and they're like, okay, like this sucks, but it's life. And then it's time for the big competition, and Stassi and Aaron skate a perfect program, and they get, like, the highest score, but then at the end, Aaron starts, like, kissing her on the ice. By the way,
they are skating to the song Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer.
Yes.
And so because the singer said kiss me, he kissed
her. Yeah. And she's, like, struggling to get away, and he won't let her go. And, like, finally he does, and she freaks out, and, like, that's the tipping point for her. And she's like, "This, like, I quit. Like, I can't do this anymore." And even her coach is like, oh, well, we'll deal with it later. Like, let's go get our accolades first. And she's like, no. Don't want to do that, actually. And she quits pair skating and decides that she will skate individually. And meanwhile, Nate was at a hockey game and discovered that Aaron's broken arm came from like drunken shenanigans at a Halloween party. And
oh yeah, because famously Aaron does not have any friends at the school because he had transferred from UCLA, and so he just goes and hangs out with his UCLA friends because UC Maple Hills is very close to LA for some reason.
Yeah. So he Nate knows this information and tells it to Stassi, and then like Stassi tells the dean, so Nate is cleared of all of his you know, supposed hurting of Aaron. And Stassi moves out of Aaron's when they get back from the competition. Nate has already, because the competition was live streamed, and so everyone saw like Aaron kiss Stassi and Stassi like freak out. So when she gets home, like Lola and the hockey boys are already packing up all of their things from their apartment so that they can move in with the hockey boys full time permanently. And everything seems, you know, like it's going to be great. Anastasia's going to skate solo, and Nate is back with the hockey team, and they do really well, and they like are the championship of their division or whatever. And the school year is ending, and like things seem perfect. And if the book ended here,
yes,
yeah,
right.
Oh, and we should also mention, by the way, one conflict that also keeps popping up is that Stassi is a junior and he's a senior, and after he graduates, he's been pre-drafted by the NHL team, the Vancouver Vipers. So he's going to graduate and go to Canada, and she'll still have 1 year left of college before she can go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then rather than address that whatsoever, we end the book and get a 2-year time jump.
And this
and I scream for 2 years.
It is the most, like, it is.
She was like, J.K. Rowling, your epilogue, move over.
Yeah.
Hunger Games epilogue, move over. No. Hold my beer, hold my mixed cocktail from the hockey party, hold my weird diet plan, hold everything, because I've got the epilogue of all fucking epilogues.
And I don't want to turn this into relitigating the Hunger Games epilogue, but I do not believe the Hunger Games epilogue should be on that list, but I do understand that you're making a point.
I'm making a point of how it's considered in popular culture and not necessarily affecting my personal opinions.
Yes. This epilogue fucking sucks. It's 2 years and like 9 months after the end of the book. And it turns out that Anastasia won the gold medal at the Olympics.
Somehow.
For single skating.
Even though you've been training as a pairs person, like, okay, you could change to singles. That's like, obviously you know how to skate, you know how to jump, you know how to spin, but you can't do that. And then win the gold medal in like 2 years. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? I'm so mad anyway.
But she did it.
And the Vancouver Vipers won the Stanley Cup. So they're like the two most famous people on ice skates in the entire world.
Oh my God.
And in celebrating Stassi's gold medal win, they had a lot of sex and she had missed a birth control pill. And so she ended up pregnant and they are going on a baby moon that was gifted to them by Jay, who's one of the hockey guys, and his ambiguously named partner, Alex. And Jay is pansexual, so I have to imagine that the author chose the name Alex so that she would not have to commit to a particular gender that Jay ended up with. And while they're on their, like, fancy baby moon together, Nate proposes, and of course, Anastasia says yes, so they're going to get married, and they're the two most famous famous skaters, period, in the entire world, and she's pregnant, and they're going to get married, and they have a perfect life together 2 years after the end of this book. Oh my
God. Yes. Also, by the way, I don't know if we've mentioned that specifically her skater was someone who her skating coach was someone who had been qualified for the Olympics, but then got pregnant and couldn't go to the Olympics. And now she's just like a bitter old coach hag. And so throughout the book, Anastasia's been like, I can't get pregnant. I don't want to get pregnant and be like a coach hag. But now she's very happy about it.
Because now she says coach hag.
Yeah.
Now she gets to be a gold medalist who's pregnant. There you go. So it's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't throw my life away. I get to throw my life away now.
True. Also, Kate, speaking of what you said about the author not committing to a gender for JJ's partner, I also feel like another thing that makes this feel like fan fiction or like something that was published episodically, which again, not necessarily a bad thing, but in this case, I did feel like there were parts where it just felt very clear that, like, she's like, I need to put this in so people don't yell at me. Like, I need to put in, like, a very kind of boring therapy scene just so that people on the internet don't think that I don't like therapy. Or, like, you know, I need to put in this, like, very explicit, clear consent scene. And, like, yeah, of course, consent is important and, like, you should talk about it in a book. But the way that it kept popping up and being, like, I don't know. It was, again, giving a little bit of after school special to me.
Yeah, that part, the consent stuff didn't bother me that much. But there definitely was like,
look to the camera and be like, I love my therapist. Therapy is so important for my personal growth. And like, yeah, it is. Why are you talking like that?
I wouldn't even mind, like I love that she has a therapist. And like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot of complicated stuff where it's like, I understand that my parents will love me even if I quit skating, but I still feel like I have to skate. But also, I'm like, I don't need a whole chapter of it. Like,
yeah,
we could have had like a little glimpse. Which again, it was just like, okay, we don't need all of these pacing problems.
Yeah.
And then build to an end where you're like 22 and pregnant with a Jeep and your husband's an NHL star. And I'm just like, this is like the worst fanfic thing ever.
Yeah. And again, don't cancel me, internet. Like, I do think therapy and consent are great and important, but just the way that it was written about felt like clunky to me. But then I was already like annoyed, so whatever.
It was for me, I feel like there was some bitch eating crackers approach here, where it was just like any little thing that I did not like, I was like, I'm gonna be angry at this.
Like, and again, like, for me, like, the biggest issue with the book was just the pacing of this book. We just described, and this is less for you, more for the audience's edification, that, like, we just fairly succinctly described this book, but the audiobook was, like, 15 hours long.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is a long book in which the things that we just laid out happened not in any sort of flowy way.
Yeah.
It was so poorly paced. On one hand, it made it easy to like listen to it for a bit and then pause it and not have to like remember a lot of what happened beforehand when I pressed play again. But on the other hand, like I said, like by like the last hour and a half, I was like, I can't believe there's still more of this book. I'm done.
It just kept going.
Yeah.
Well, should we do some dramatic readings?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first one is from shortly after Nate has agreed to, or really has volunteered to be her new pair skating buddy, and she has to take him to shop for leggings for skating in.
I will be reading for Nate.
And I'll read Anastasia.
The first discovery of this little figure skating experience is that my Tuesday class schedule aligns with Anastasia's, and we both finish at 2 p.m. We're both supposed to be studying, but we've just arrived at Maple Hills Mall. You know in a movie where there's a red button, but nobody is allowed to touch it, and you scream at the TV when someone inevitably does? Anastasia is my red button. I know I shouldn't touch her, but I want to, and she'll scream at me if I do. She looks so pretty right now, passionately explaining the importance of skating in the right outfit.
Stop staring at my lips and pay attention.
I am paying attention. I still don't see why I can't wear sweatpants.
You just can't, okay? We're buying leggings.
So pretty. Yes, ma'am. The first store doesn't have anything for men. The second doesn't have anything that goes over my thighs. But the third is perfect.
What about these?
They're leopard print, Anastasia.
I can see that. What about them?
Quirking my eyebrow, I lean against the rack. I mean, is them being leopard print not enough of an answer? Why don't we rule out all animal print to save time? As she's about to argue, we're interrupted by my ringing phone. Dad, reject. I'm putting my phone back in my pocket. She holds up another pair when I look at her.
So that's a no to the zebra print.
Correct.
Are you absolutely sure? These will make your thighs look great.
If you want to see my thighs, I'll skate in my Calvins. Problem solved. Food? She doesn't even bother responding. I'll take that as a no then. Searching through a sea of black, non-animal print options, I find a handful in my size. She's all grumbles and scowls as I pay for my, quote, boring outfits, and we exit the store.
I just also feel like if you're getting special skating leggings for a hockey player with like a big, you know, big thick thighs, and in the year is 2022, you probably just buy them on the internet, right?
Yeah. And
or like a specialty skating store. Like, why are you at the mall?
Honestly, I was like, you could just go to like a either a running store and get like running tights for the winter, or you would go to like a sporting goods store. And again, similarly, probably you would probably get like running leggings. Like you wouldn't even need like normal tights for figure skating. So I was just like, I think this was a thing where I think Hannah Grace is from England.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I don't think you know how malls are now.
That's true. Yeah, she did in her afterword. And by the way, this did remind me of the Kissing Booth in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But I do think that Hannah Grace did a better job of getting an American picker to go over things than that book. But it's still not, you know, still not the most. All right. Well, so now we've been talking this whole time about the sex scenes, and we'll let you, the listener, decide if you think these are sexy or gross. And I will be Nate, and Kate will be Stassi with the perfect pink pussy. And we chose to start here because, well, you'll know as soon as I say it. Clever girl.
He coos, climbing back up my body, brushing the hair from my damp forehead. I push his boxers down, letting his dick spring free, and I move my hand up and down it, watching his eyes roll back in his head. Tell me what you want for Christmas, Nathan. He thrusts into my hand slowly.
How can you still think about Christmas when I just made you come twice?
Because it's important to me to do something nice for you.
I only want you, Anastasia. Nothing you can buy me is better than the past 4 weeks with you. Give me more of that and I'll be happy.
I pull his mouth to mine, tasting myself on his tongue. I'm lost for words. How could I not be? This man blows every negative thought I've ever had about exclusivity away. Why would I ever want to share myself, share him? He kisses me, cradles my face, and gives me every sliver of his care and attention. His arm reaches towards the bedside drawer, and the words spill out of my mouth. We don't have to use a condom, unless you want to. I'm on birth control, and I'm not having sex with anyone else. I trust you, and I hope you trust me. I don't think I've ever seen him speechless. He finally clears his throat after staring at me with a slack jaw for 30 seconds.
You're serious?
Yeah. I've never done it without before, but I don't feel pressured.
Neither have I. Oh my. Fuck. You're sure?
Please. We've waited long enough. Nate sinking into me bare is like nothing I've ever experienced. Everything is 10 times more intense, and I can feel every bit of him. He's panting into my shoulder, letting me adjust after filling me.
Oh my god, so fucking good, Anastasia. Jesus Christ, you're so wet and ready for me.
He pulls back his hips and snaps them forward, skin slapping, echoing around the room. My skin feels ready to burst into flames and every nerve ending is on edge. I want more. Hard and fast, I whisper, wrapping my legs around him and crossing my feet at the bottom of his back.
I won't last. You feel too good. It's taking every ounce of self-control not to go right now.
Using my feet to lift my hips and slide up and down him, rolling my hips when I get back to the tip. I want him to pound me into the bed and see him lose his mind, but Mr. Generous is too concerned about turning me into a quivering wreck. Again. I don't care, I tell him honestly. Give me everything you've got. Sliding his hands under me, his fingers wrap around to cling to my shoulders. I'm trying to hide the giddy expression on my face, but he spots it. His lips tug into a smirk.
Wrap your arms around me and remember, you asked for it.
Nobody can ever say Nathan Hawkins doesn't know how to take instructions. His hands pull me down as he drives forward. Every thrust has me crying into his mouth and digging my nails into his shoulders. My legs are shaking, and every time he goes deep, my back arches and my legs tighten around him. Nathan.
I know, baby. I know. Look at you taking it all like a good fucking girl.
I'm so close, I cry, gripping the back of his neck tightly with one hand and rubbing frantically between my legs with the other.
Whose pussy is this, Anastasia?
Oh my God, it's yours. It's yours.
Come for me. Let me feel you.
Oh, I thought we would end it there, but that's fine.
Yeah, probably. I got swept in the moment. Yeah.
It was just too good.
I mean, I will say this. I think I read a lot more explicit sex than you, but I never problem, aside from like the deep heterosexuality of all of these, I never problem with any of these sex scenes. I thought they were fine.
I guess
it's not that I'm like, oh, these, they're wrong. I just find people talking about the sex that they're having deeply embarrassing. I'm like, you could be super, this could be super hot, like, very into it, and I'm just like, oh my God, can you please shut up? Like, this is so embarrassing.
Yes, no one needs to know about this.
Yeah, just have sex already. My God.
Just turn off the lights and do it in missionary position without saying anything.
Or do it all sorts of ways. Just don't talk about it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with Annie. I think to be clear, what really I hated, like, the description of, like, he putting his dick in her, like, whatever, whatever, that's fine. No. I hated their sexy talk dialogue.
Yes,
I hated
yes.
every, because every time he's like, your pussy is so perfect. Like, I love, and whose pussy is it? It's your pussy. Oh. It's your pussy. Like, I hated all of that.
Yeah.
And they can't fuck without establishing ownership of the pussy.
And I also feel like they take it so seriously. I'm like, I'm sorry. This sounds silly to me. Like, I like literally just, even if you removed all of the dialogue and just had the, like, the physical actions, I'd be like, great, spicy, like, love it. But just the fact that they're like, whose pussy is this? And I got thinking where I'm like, no, she has her period. Like, you don't have your period, my dude. It's her. It's like, what is this?
Yes, speak on it, Annie. It's her pussy.
So I'm a lot of fun, obviously.
But yeah, and also I do feel like some of their other I also really don't like any of the okay. I also really don't like any of the times when, like, she masturbates at him and he is like incredible. Like, I don't know. Embarrassing.
Yeah. Right, like, and I'm like, you guys can have a nice time together, like, have sex, do whatever, it's so great. But the fact that you're talking about it and being so serious about it, like,
yeah,
oh, I'm just embarrassed for you.
Yeah. Oh, and also, like, so she likes to read romance novels, and there's, like, little, like, a cute reference to specifically what's the Helen Hong one, the Kiss Quotient or something. She, like, refers to a specific romance novel, and Nate is like, I've seen the kind of romance novels you read. I know that you like a bossy man taking control. And it's sort of like, well, Nate, wait, did you read those too? Or, like, what? And, like, half the time their sex scenes take on this sort of, like, DS undertones, or it's like, you know, it's my pussy and, like, I'm the captain now. Well, now. But she does call him captain, that's, and they fuck sometimes. He's like, I'm the captain now. Your pussy is mine. You're being boarded.
Tom Hanks romance novel.
Okay. Again, we maybe have established that some of this is my problem. but for real, she does call him captain while they fuck. Anyway, yes.
At least she does mean hockey player captain.
She does. Okay, let's move on to the epilogue.
man. So I will be reading for Anastasia.
Yeah, I will be giving an encore performance as Nate.
All right, I'm gonna settle myself down. Okay. The Seattle skyline is glowing beneath the warm early evening sunlight. Dr. Andrews is running behind, but I don't mind because it gives me a little longer to admire the view. I sometimes miss the LA weather when I'm stuck in the rain, but right now I feel perfectly content. Come in, Anastasia. Dr. Andrews holds open the door for me. I'm sorry for the delay. Don't worry, I reassure him, pushing myself up from my chair. My ankles are so swollen, it's nice to sit down. Well, you're definitely glowing if that makes you feel better. Pregnancy suits you. It's sweat. Don't be fooled. Taking a seat across from his desk, I rub my hand over my bump, hissing when I feel a tiny foot in my rib cage. We think she's going to be a soccer player. She likes to kick. I'm sure with a gold medalist for a mother and a Stanley Cup winner for a father, whatever she decides to be, she'll be the best at it. Right now, she's the best at making me nearly pee myself. After I graduated and moved back to Washington to be closer to Nathan, I decided to start with semi-regular therapy sessions. Therapy doesn't feel hard anymore. It makes me feel grateful. Recapping my feelings, things I've done, things I'm looking forward to, and even the things I'm nervous about, it all reminds me how much I have to feel lucky for. By the time I'm driving home, baby H is wriggling around, clearly as excited to see her dad as I am. Well, that's what I'll tell Nate, leaving out the fact that she started breakdancing on my organs when I opened my second bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. When he bought me my Range Rover, otherwise known as the "sorry I accidentally knocked you up" mom wagon, he filled all available compartments with snacks. A wise choice, since his child is hungry constantly. Yes, I'm blaming my unborn baby for how much crap I eat when I'm sitting in traffic. Pulling into our driveway beside my parents' car, I'm not even fully out of the car before I can hear Bunny's signature bark echoing from the backyard. "Stop upsetting my baby," I call over the barking, waddling over to where Nathan and my dad are shooting Bunny with a water gun.
"Mom's home."
Nate shouts, causing a 45-pound bundle of wet golden fluff to bounce toward me, tail wagging excitedly. Knowing he was transferring to Seattle at the end of the season, Nathan promised me after the Olympics in February we could get a golden retriever. What neither of us had planned for when we decided to become dog parents was my pre-Olympic debut anxiety causing me to vomit up my contraceptive pill. I won gold in the women's singles. We celebrated. A lot. On every surface we could get our horny little mitts on. 6 months later, I have a giant watermelon strapped to my stomach and the world's most chaotic puppy. You just want a gold medal. And then you got a Range Rover. And everything's great. Everything's great. And makes total sense.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's move on to Reader's Advisory and suggest some books to read instead of or in addition to Icebreaker. Annie, you have a lot of great suggestions. Take us to church.
Yeah. So for college romance, I would suggest Dahlia Adler's Radley University series. I get like some real good college setting, and there is a sports themed one as well. So jump on that. For actual sports related trauma, Out of Shape, Worthless Loser, A Memoir of Figure Skating, Fucking Up and Figuring It Out by Gracie Gold, who is an Olympic figure skater, and dealt with a lot of issues around weight and eating and body shaming. And so if that was a thing that you wanted more of in this book, then definitely check out Gracie Gold's memoir. Kind of related, The Longest Race, Inside the Secret World of Abuse, Doping, and Deception on Nike's Elite Running Team by Kara Goucher. It's fantastic. It's obviously about running and in particular long distance running. And in terms of like the plot line that I felt like connected to this was Aaron and his abuse, and Kara experienced abuse at the hands of her coach. And it's a wonderful book. And I think that anyone who's interested in running should read it. and Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Boley. It actually has hockey in it. It's a YA novel, and it's legit one of my favorite books from the last few years. So I was like, oh, look, hockey. I get to talk about Firekeeper's Daughter. and that book is so well paced and excellent, has excellent world building, phenomenal characterization. Like, everyone should read it. And then for some TV and movies, Yuri on Ice is phenomenal. It's a like anime TV series, and it's actually a lot closer to skating in real life. I think there's at one point they go to a competition and they are staying in like a hotel, and professional figure skaters are like, oh, that's the hotel we stay in when we go to, you know, whatever city it's in. So they did a lot of research around that, but it's also really cute and queer and fun. Greek is a great TV show with college setting. It's older, but I still love it. More contemporary, The Sex Lives of College Girls. And then for the best and hottest sports romance of all time, Love and Basketball. Just watch that as much as you can. It's so good.
I would like to recommend a movie that is equally as realistic as this, and it is Ice Princess.
So realistic.
A Disney movie starring Michelle Trachtenberg as a ice skater who also likes to do physics. And her mom, Joan Cusack, doesn't think she should do ice skating, only physics. And it's and she proves that you can do both ice skating and physics. And in fact, spoiler, ice skating is physics. It's... like I said, it's exactly as realistic as Icebreaker, and less horny, and just a good time. Just a good time.
My movie suggestion, I already dropped during the description of the plot, but it is, of course, The Cutting Edge, that classic 90s film about a former hockey player who gets tapped to be a pair to a woman figure skater who is so obnoxious that none of the other male figure skaters will skate with her, and they're, you know, of course, fantastic together. I don't read a ton of sports anything. Take a Hint, Danny Brown by Talia Hibbert, which I think we've talked about on this podcast before because we covered a different book in that trilogy for a different podcast. That's like sort of sports adjacent. The guy plays rugby, or did play rugby, and now he runs a rugby children's sports charity. And that book slaps.
What is rugby but land hockey?
Exactly. and Home Field Advantage, which is a YA book, another Dahlia Adler. And this is ladies and sports and gayness. And it's great. And also Cleat Cute by Meryl Wilsner is another queer sports YA rom-com. Those are some books you could read.
And I think pretty much everyone who would be interested already knows about Check Please by Ngozi Okatsu. But I just feel like if we don't mention it, people will yell at us. So if you do like cute figure skaters turned hockey, you know, it's the opposite. It's a figure skater turned hockey player. That's real cute.
And also queer and cute.
Yeah.
And also college.
Yeah.
And also like fun hockey house.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll have all of these and maybe some other ones on our website, worstbestsellers.com. Also, you should read Red by Annie Cardy, which is nothing at all like this book.
Yes.
Definitely nothing like this.
Nothing like it. But that's great.
Thank you. And it does slap. 1000%.
Just with more trauma.
With more trauma and teens and music.
That's true. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, now it's time for The Rock, Paper, Snicked, where Kate will say who Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be if he were in this book, and I'll say who Wolverine would be if he were in this book, and Annie can choose which most enhances the book, or she can use paper, which is to leave it as is.
If The Rock were in this book, he would be some sort of, I don't know, like sports overseer or something at the school, and would cotton on pretty quickly to the fact that Stassi's meal plan, quote unquote, made for her by Aaron is total bullshit, And as an authority figure pointing this out to her, she would automatically believe him and not kind of hem and haw over it the way she does when Nate points it out to her, despite the fact that he is taking a class in sports nutrition and she thinks that eating salad for every meal will give her enough calories to figure skate. And that sort of cracks open the whole Aaron bullshit a lot earlier and, you know, maybe saves some time and heartbreak on that plane for her.
The Rock would be like, you need to be eating at least 3 cods a day.
Exactly.
You are not getting your daily recommended dose of cod. Meanwhile, if Wolverine were in this book, one thing we didn't get into is that Anastasia, in addition to calling Nate Captain, she also often calls him Bub, B-U-B, Bub. And so therefore, if he were in this book, Wolverine would sue Anastasia for use of his patented catchphrase, Bub, and she would have to... withdraw from school for a minute to deal with this massive lawsuit. But it would get her away from Aaron, and then maybe she could just enter the Olympics as a solo skater anyway after settling with Wolverine.
Well, as much as I know that Wolverine loves lawsuits, is truly in canon. Mm-hmm. I really like the Rock as like the athletics dean, basically. I feel like he would handle the whole situation a lot better and maybe be like a real good father figure for Nathan as well. So everybody could have their issues resolved, and I think I'm gonna go for the Rock on this one.
Yeah, no, that's great. That would be a great story. Well, now it's time for Duarte's Corner, where my cat Duarte shares his opinions about the book more than he already has. Yeah, Duarte, it's such a good point. I do think choice of music for a figure skating program is so important. And I think that choosing Kiss Me to skate to is sending like a really wrong message. And I think you are so right that if they had simply skated to Skimbleshanks the Railway Cat...
That would be a great Paris song.
That would be fantastic.
It would be so good. It's such a bop. There's no kissing in it. They could have worn little hats.
Yeah, it would have been great. It's great. Once again, you've nailed it, Duarte. Mm-hmm. Perfect way to make this book better.
And I definitely agree that they should have gotten a cat at the end instead of a puppy, because a puppy and a baby are a lot to take care of, whereas a cat would be way more chill.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Duarte, thanks as ever for your great opinions. And, you know, Duarte, I really do think you are the perfect pussy.
That's it. That's the t-shirt.
Unrelated to that horror. Well, you know what? I know when I'm going to drop this in. Keep going.
Well, do any humans have any closing thoughts?
Yes. I forgot to mention that one of the things that I did deeply appreciate about this book is that everyone is constantly watching reruns of Criminal Minds. And as a person who constantly watches reruns of Criminal Minds, that felt very relatable.
The most real thing.
It's like, yes, that is exactly how.
You know, actually, what I thought was the most relatable thing is that another thing everyone is obsessed with is getting the key code to private dorm bathrooms.
Yes.
And as someone who always needs to pee, that was where I was like, yeah, get it, Anastasia. Get that 4-digit code.
Yeah. Both of those things, key moments of this book that I deeply appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, like, the bathroom code is legit because Nate gets mad at her for, like, knowing somebody else's bathroom code. He's, like, jealous of her bathroom code sluttery.
Like, I would know bathroom codes all over that university because, I wouldn't be hooking up with people, but I would 100% be like, I need to use your private bathroom.
Yes.
Yes. And by the way, another thing you could, another media you could consume instead of this book is simply the musical Year in Town, which has much in common with this.
That's true.
When you are on,
like this book.
When you are on the UCMH campus, it is a privilege to pee.
They could have skated to Run Freedom Run.
Another bop.
Yeah, this is again why figure skating is musical theater for sporty people. Yes.
Oh no, I can't believe we forgot. Also, Lola is a theater student.
Oh yeah.
And oh my god,
in the year 2022, the college theater department is performing Hamilton, and Lola is playing Angelica.
Oh my god.
And this truly just felt like, like a fan fiction, like somebody who literally doesn't know any better. Like, you can't get the rights to Hamilton for your college production.
No.
This has to be like an unlicensed Hamilton, like the church.
The church.
You have to include that in the show notes.
Yes.
This portion of the episode is just for people who go real deep in musical theater.
If you're still listening at this point, odds are good.
Oh my god, I really want to write a musical theater romance now, and no one will talk when they have sex.
No. They will only hum. One more shout out to our Queen Nora Roberts, who does understand theatrical licensing. And that's why when she is a high school theater teacher, that school does Grease and Bye Bye Birdie and public domain Shakespeare plays.
Yes.
She gets it.
100%. She's for real.
She gets it. All right. These are really powerful closing thoughts. And if you would like to come online and tell us like what musical theater songs you think people should figure skate to, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Blue Sky at Worst Bestseller spelled normally. And then we are also sort of on Twitter in absentia at Worst Bestseller with no S because the S was damaged in a hockey prank. It was really unprofessional.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, all the places where you find podcasts. And if you do, please take a moment to rate and review. When you rate and review, it moves us up on the charts and makes it easier for people to find us. If you don't rate and review, we are not going to give you the code to our private bathroom.
Oh.
It's a real threat. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/worstbestsellers. Patreon is a service where you offer a small monthly recurring donation that goes to us to do things like fund our web hosting and keep our equipment up to date. And in return, you get perks like postcards and stickers in the mail and a monthly bonus episode where we talk about what we've been into this month. We also have merch available at worstbestsellers.com. You click on the merch link, and there's all sorts of designs from our podcast to wear on your body. And finally, we do have a Discord server as well, also linked from worstbestsellers.com. You can come and join and chat about the latest episodes, what your cats are up to, and, you know, what your favorite songs from Year in Town the Musical are.
That's so important, honestly.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I made my parents go see the original Broadway cast of Year in Town on a trip to New York. And we all loved it.
Oh, good.
I didn't go with you and your family. I went with me. I took my parents to see Year in Town. That's who I saw Year in Town with.
Parents, go see Year in Town with your children.
Yes.
If you want to tweet at me about who you saw Year in Town, I'm at Renata Snacks.
And if you want to tweet to me about any, I think I messed up the way the words go in that sentence, I'm at 14 Across. Annie, where can people find you on the internet?
Mostly you can find me on the general social media sites as Annie Cardi. These days I'm mostly on Instagram because there are too many other places. But I do like talking about musicals and we'll talk anytime about the programs you could create from any of their songs. So please at me with that content.
Annie also provides me with important haunted doll updates after she and her husband, friend of the show, Walt, did gift me with perhaps the most haunted item that I own. And I am deeply ingratiated to them forever for this.
No, we are so excited to bring Emily to your home.
Where she belongs. Out of your home, I'm sure.
No, we saw her and we're like, oh my God, Kay needs us. And I recently did send Kay another picture of a haunted doll that my brother found, but it was like $50. So I was like, oh, I think that's a little too much for a haunted doll at this point. But if she goes lower, she's at Goodwill, and she is truly disturbing. So I'm always on the lookout.
By the way, I should mention also, don't tell Duarte. She's asleep right now. Annie's dog also has an Instagram account too.
I do. Follow Bodo the dog. He's perfect and he's beautiful. And it's good because Duarte is the perfect pussy. Bodo is just a sweet, dumb baby, beautiful hound boy. So there's no competition.
Yeah, he's real cute.
He is. He's a good boy.
For a dog.
He's a bestest Bubba.
All right.
Well, this has been a delight.
Yes, yes. Thank you for joining us, Annie.
Oh, anytime. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. And, you know, and if you're not a Patreon subscriber, or if you are and you're not listening to our bonus episodes, you may have missed that last month on our bonus episode, we spent a good amount of time talking about how great Red by Annie Cardi is. But we'll tell you now for free, it's great. So, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with a book that's not great.
This is a bad one, guys.
It's honestly, it's maybe one of the worst we've read.
Oh, no. Well, I'm very excited to listen.
Yeah. And it is called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti, which I'm told if you grew up evangelical, you may know this man. I never heard of him before, and now I hate him. But you can hear about that in 2 weeks. All right. Well, Annie, thank you again so much for joining us and suffering through these embarrassing, sexy scenes.
People and their bodies. It's the worst.
Like, you know what? You can do whatever you want with your body. Just like, don't tell me.
Just don't talk about it. Oh.
Close that door.
Close it. Listeners, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm feeling a little loopy.